So when we sing that song, we don't want to sing toiling on, you know, like it's just so terrible to be a Christian and have to toil for God all of our lives. Obviously, that song doesn't mean that. It just means to work. And so I'm glad we had such a kind of cheerful way of singing. You ought to be able to sing toiling on with a smile on your face, you know, because we are actually working for the Lord. And what better employer to work for, you know, than the Lord? He is a good Lord, and he is a good leader, and a good God, and a good creator, and everything else can be said about God. He's good in every way possible. Amen?
Amen,
he is. And thank God for a day like today where we can come together, and God has deemed this a good idea to worship on Sunday mornings and any time during Sunday, but at any time during our lives, but to come together as the body of Christ and to worship. And so thank God for our visitors that have come here. We're so glad that you're a part of us today. And you guys coming down from Dallas, Fort Worth area, my heart goes out to that area because I went to high school in Arlington, and I got some great memories of living in that area. And go Cowboys this year, right? Yeah, go Cowboys. If you're not a Cowboy fan, we're going to have an invitation song a little later on. You can come on forward, you know, and repent of your sin. I shouldn't say that, but you know, I'm just kidding. So we're talking today about taking care of business, talk about toiling on, and we find it in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And for those of you that haven't been here so far, we've been going through the book of Acts, and that's our plan through the rest of summer and on in to some other places into the fall. Lord willing, we'll look at each part, and we'll learn some good things from the book of Acts, and we'll be motivated as God's people, just as the people were back then. I want to say that people just in general have difficulties in this life. Isn't that true? Sure they are. They do. And there are hardships in all of our lives. I think everyone is in here, if asked to list something on paper, just one thing, could come up with something that has been a difficulty in your life. I think you could do that. I know I could, and I know of others around me that could as well. But you know, Christians too, for simply being Christians, can run across some hardships in life and have difficulties. Some of it, of course, from Satan himself causing difficulties in our lives just because we're Christians. And sometimes association out in our workplace and out in the public can cause some difficulties as well as God's people well know. I mean, just look around and listen to see things that are going on. The problems just don't go away when you come to the Lord. But I want to say, and this is what our text is going to teach us, that it's not only to individual Christians that Satan works against us and creates difficulties, but it's also the church itself. And churches meaning individual churches, congregations, but also just the church in general. But here we have a group of people. Verse 1, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, so this is the growth of the church. The term church has come in already. Luke has used it once, and so it's kind of the introducing of the church. And I want you to see the book of Acts. If you go home and read the book of Acts on your own, just casually, whenever you want to, it's a good little book. It's got great little stories in it, biblical right stories that talk to us about the church and the growth of the church. And here we have almost like an egg that's just beginning to hatch, you know, in this particular chapter. And really, as the book of Acts unfolds, you see the church's growth and the changes and things like that. But let's read this verse. Let me just read all seven, if you will, and then we'll come back and we'll break it apart. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. And so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables." Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, who will turn this, we will turn this responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them, and so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests, underline that, a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. And so the church is growing, and it's becoming successful and reaching out not only to the people in the streets of Jerusalem and the areas round about immediately, but also even the priests. A great number of priests were beginning to be converted to Christianity. So the book of Acts, again, is an unfolding book, and it begins to show us the church as it grows. And here we have, again, an egg being hatched, if you will, and out comes some difficulties. Now, this is a classic problem and solution story. And you know, if you're ever going to teach or preach, and some of you guys have done it, and it would be a great thing for you to just adopt the idea, I'm going to preach a message and it's going to be a problem solution message. That's all you have to do. Talk about the problem, whatever the problem is, and develop it, explain it, maybe give some illustrations of it. People can identify with the problem and then begin to talk about the solution. It's a good way if you're looking for a sermon, somebody's asked you, you know, the guy's going to be out of town this week, and so would you fill in? Hey, pick a problem and solution one, you know. Cause and effect is another good one, you know. Talk about all the causes that are going on and things that are caused, and then think about the effects they have on us and then perhaps what can be done. So I didn't mean to get off on that, but I kind of did, because we got some people that we want to fill in at times as we go along here as a congregation. But this is a problem and solution story, and so I want to divide this up into 3 parts. If you like to take notes, number 1 is just simply the problem. And that's only verse 1 and 2, the problem. Number 2 is the solution. And that's verses 3 through 6. That's really imaginative of me, is it not? And then number 3 is the result. And that's chapter 6 and verse 7. So some of you like to take notes, and this can easily be divided into those 3 parts. And so let's just spend a little time on the problem. Again, a little time. This is a really brief couple of verses. We have the Jewish widows and the widows who were non-Jewish. They were widows who were Hellenized, meaning they probably lived out away from in the immediate vicinity of Israel and Jerusalem. They probably lived in Rome or Asia Minor or even further north than that, in other places. Who knows? And some of them had come on the day of Pentecost and just stayed there. And the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, was the first preaching of the gospel, and 3,000 souls were obedient to the gospel at that point. And so we have people, and Luke tells us this, from pretty much all over the world there for Pentecost. And so perhaps some of them stayed behind, and so you have some who were Hellenized, Greek-like. They probably spoke Greek better than they did Hebrew, and they probably had their Greek habits, and they weren't so much to the Jewish. And so there was a little bit of a division going on here, and that's part of the problem, but it's the idea of the neglect. They complained because when the daily distribution of food was done, they were overlooked, maybe intentionally, you know, maybe not. Maybe the ones that were doing the daily distribution were Hebrew, and so they were giving it to people they knew. And these were, of course, all widows. The Bible's real clear about taking care of widows. In Exodus 22 and verse 22, Moses, as he's speaking to the people and as God speaks to him, says, "Don't take advantage of the widow or the fatherless." So it's a principle, from God to all of us, the people who need us the most ought to be the people that we help the most. And it should be the widows, the ones who are struggling to survive without having that dual partnership in a family. They've lost their husband or perhaps their wife, and they need to be cared. In this case, it was widows, feminine, that were being overlooked and felt like they were being overlooked. James chapter 1 and verse 27, most of you have heard of this passage. The religion that is to God considered pure and faithless, faultless, is to look after the widows and the orphans in their distress. So even James picks up what is Exodus 22 told us and tells us how important it is. That's the first problem. So it's your lesson title is the problem. I mean, your point here, but it's really the problems, plural, because there's a second problem. Can you see what it is? The first is that the widows are being overlooked. That's the main problem. The disciples then, the apostles, verse 2, so the 12, that's the apostles, gathered all the disciples together and said this. Here's the second problem. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. And so, of course, the solution was for men in the congregation who have certain qualifications to be selected to take care of this. Problem here would be that the apostles were fearful of getting off message, of being distracted by a mission that they weren't assigned to. As we began the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus tells these 12, actually 11 at the time, and then they picked up on Matthias to become the 12th, you know, by casting lots in chapter 1. You remember that? Peter helped to select another one. But the 12, Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 to go first of all to Jerusalem and then to Judea, which is the territory around, kind of like the state, you know, and then to Samaria, which is really kind of up further north. Remember, Jesus was at the well of the woman, and she was a Samaritan woman. And so go to Samaria and begin to spread the gospel. And then after Samaria, where are you supposed to go? To the rest of the world. And so the book of Acts is actually mistitled. Look at your Bible if you have it. Go to Acts chapter 1. Just get to the front, if you will. Or maybe look at your heading, because sometimes the chapters of the books or the titles of the books are there. And what does it say? Just simply, mine does, Acts. And sometimes you hear the book of Acts. And that's good too. Those aren't bad titles. You know what the best title is? There it is. The Acts of the Apostles. And so when we read and study through the book of Acts, that's what we're going to be keying in on a lot. See that the stories all revolve around the spreading of the gospel by way of the apostles of Jesus Christ who were spreading into all kinds of areas. And you read the stories of Paul, who later on was chosen by Paul, by God, and says in another one of his writings in the Bible that he was untimely born as an apostle, you know, kind of out of order. But he was an apostle too, and we have him going all over the place. We have all the different journeys of Paul. Well, what is he doing? And that, the Acts of an Apostle, which is what? Carrying my word. And so that's why they say, here we are, we got this complaint, it's legitimate. The Bible tells us we need to take care of widows and their affliction and orphans as well and their distress. And so let's take care of that, and that'll be the solution here. That's the first problem. The second one is it just wouldn't be right for us to neglect the mystery of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Had the apostles allowed themselves to be distracted and got off message and suddenly became the ones who were just there at the church dealing with, you know, dealing with the distribution of food and whatever else came up, you know, at the church, the gospel and the growth of the gospel in the world and the conversion of the world, of the whole world hearing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, well, would have come to a grinding halt. And that's why they say it would not be right. Because what Jesus wants us to do is to spread the gospel. And to get off track, it just wouldn't be right for us to do this. So to me, that's the major problem. Do you see what I'm saying? That's the major problem. It's bad enough that they're being neglected. Shouldn't have happened. That is a huge problem too. It's wrong. We should take care of people. But what's really important in our studies here of the book of Acts, keep it in mind, if you will, is that we're reading in a book that should be entitled for us the Acts of the Apostles. And Jesus took them with him for 3.5 years during his ministry and taught them and then gave them the Holy Spirit in a special power, in a special way. We all get the Holy Spirit, by the way, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and we're baptized. We get the Holy Spirit too, but not like they did. They were given it in a very special way, and so they were able to go out and they were able to spread the gospel, both with the powers that they had and the wisdom that God gave them to teach and preach the right kinds of things. And so the solution comes in verse 3, where he says, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we'll return this responsibility or turn it over to them. I want you to underline in your mind, if you like to write notes, this word responsibility is the word diakonos, and that's where we get the word deacon. And so some people think this is really sort of a foreshadowing of the coming of the deacons. Churches have deacons. Well, what are deacons? The word simply means servants. And some are to be selected in a special way. And so that's why we as churches, we get together. And 1 Timothy 3 gives us qualifications for the deacons. We follow those and we put people in place and they become the ones who do these kinds of things. Serve the church in some other different areas. But that doesn't leave all the rest of us off the hook, because the job of the deacon in a particular area would be to get other people around to help in that particular ministry. And so before you know it, the whole church is working in some way. And that's the solution for all of us, for the church to run smoothly, a local congregation, is for each one of us to play a role. I want to tell you, last week, Paul went to Houston, and he's always been just most wonderful guy. I'm going to miss his prayers. Are you not going to miss his prayers? But he moved to Houston, and he's one of these kind of guys that didn't want us to make a big fuss over it. And so he kept telling us, well, it may be next Sunday, but I'm not quite sure. And then he was here next Sunday, and then he'd say it again, he's here the next Sunday. And so we got kind of complacent. Well, Paul's not going. Well, guess what he did last week? He just didn't show up. And so Mark came in. Where's Mark? There he is up there. There, he's up there. Yeah, that's where Paul used to be. And we didn't have anybody to run the microphone. And so Mark got put into the job. You know, he just jumped right in, you know. You think, well, that's just a small thing. No, it's not. It's serving in any area possible so that you are part of the congregation, the work of the congregation, so that all the things that are done are spread out among us. We don't have any one or two people doing it. Like, you know, like sometimes the church puts the preacher in charge. The minister, we say. And we always put a "the" in front of it, you know. Like, that guy is the minister and I'm not. Well, what does minister mean? It's supposed to mean to serve. When you minister to a table, you know, you're coming, you bring a tray of food to the table, you're ministering to that table, you're serving that table. So we're all ministers. Is that not true? We're all called as God's people to be ministers. And so thank God Mark got up and became a minister, you know, serving. And we have other people doing that too. Some of you just do it. You're not assigned, but you just do things. You know, you greet visitors. We've got visitors here, been greeted, I bet. Surely. And well, what are they doing? They're ministering, serving. And you guys, sorry to use you as an object lesson, but, you know, thank God for churches that operate where people take it upon themselves to help to do the work. And so that's the apostle's point here. It just wouldn't be right for Paul and Paul wasn't there at that time, Peter and all the rest, for them to do those things and neglect the word. It just wouldn't be right. It needs to be shared around. The spreading of the work is what's important. And so they chose seven, and I wonder why it was seven. Can you think of why it was seven? I don't know if this is right or not, because God doesn't go on to explain it to us when he inspired Luke to write what he wrote. But my guess, seven, though, is a spiritual number. You know, Revelation talks about seven. It means holy or spiritual. It's got a three and a four in it. You know, the Jews' numbers meant a lot. Well, the three could represent the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The four represents us, because that's the four corners of the earth. And so you get the book of Revelation, you see all that. We're not getting into that. I don't mean to get too much into that. I think the seven is more simple than that. It's not just that it inspires this holiness of these men, but also that there were seven of them. And how many days of the week are there? Well, there's seven. So what we need is, you know, Bob, you show up on Mondays, and your job is going to be to take the daily distribution of food. That's your job. And you need to be here every Monday unless you call in sick. And Fred, yours Tuesday, and you take care of that. And so it was probably the spreading out of the work even among them, so that they didn't get overburdened. Oh, man, I've been doing this every day of the week. And guess what happens next? A brand new week starts, and I'm going to have to do it seven more. And so there's that, possibly. And again, you can't quote me on that, because I don't know if it's really true or not, but that's what I think. I think it's more that, you know, they split the work up even among themselves. Anyway, the church chose these fellows. Philip and Stephen are going to show up in the book of Acts again, and we'll catch up with them a little later on. Verse 6, they presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and they laid their hands on them. In a sense, they gave them authority and a recognition to be the ones that do it, to be the leaders. And so here was the great result, and it's found in verse 7. So the word of God spread. Well, it happened. It wouldn't be right for us to neglect the word of God. Well, they fixed that problem. And Luke is telling us, so what's the result? God, the word of God continued to spread. That was what's supposed to happen in the book of Acts. Or what's actually the right title? The Acts of the Apostles. That's what's supposed to happen. And the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. Increased rapidly. And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. I found eight verses in the book of Acts that are specifically written to tell us about the growth of the church. Let me share them with you, and then we'll close. Chapter 2 and verse 4 through 7, 47, where it just simply tells us that the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The Lord added to their number. So this is growth. Chapter 4, verse 4. We're told that a number of men who believed grew to be about 5,000. A number of men. So counting the women and perhaps the adult children or the of age type children, way more than 5,000. But at least the number of men who believed grew to be about 5,000. Chapter 6 and verse 7 right here. After the disciples have chosen these 12 men, the church continued to increase rapidly, and a large number of priests, another number idea, the large number of priests became obedient to the faith. That's what God wants to happen. Chapter 9, verse 31, after the conversion of the Apostle Paul, Luke writes, so the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria, so now we've finally gotten to Samaria by chapter 9, had peace and was being built up. If nothing else, you got not only the growth, but you have the growing, the building up, of course. That could be the growth. Chapter 12, verse 24, after the conversion of Cornelius, the first Gentile, Luke writes, the word of God increased and multiplied. Chapter 6 and verse 5, chapter 16 and verse 5, after Paul's first missionary journey, the Apostle Paul, the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in numbers greatly. Chapter 19 and verse 20, after Paul's third missionary journey, the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. It's the power of the word. Power of the word and the apostles assigned to take that powerful word and spread it throughout the world so that the world, not just the Jews, not just people in the nearby neighborhoods of the Jews, but the world would hear the gospel. And the apostles were instrumental in making that happen because they stuck to the knitting that God had given them. Your job is to get this word out there, and it prevailed mightily. In chapter 28, the very end of the book of Acts, verses 30 and 31, while Paul was in Rome in prison for 2 years, kind of a light prison, where he was able to come and go and associate with others, Scripture says he welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Isn't that great that the book of Acts ends on that particular note? That here's an apostle, and what's he doing? Well, he's in prison, but what's he really doing? He's teaching the word of God, and even in prison, he's teaching it with boldness. He's in jail because he was preaching the gospel. Didn't bother him one bit. Going to preach the gospel whether it costs my life or not. Because that's where the people hear about Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for our sins. And so we can have our sins forgiven. Anything you feel guilty of can be taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That is great news. That it ought to be mega good news. It is just the great news of Jesus Christ. But also he was raised from the dead so that we might also be raised from the dead. And that's the gospel message. So no wonder we have this problem and this solution, and two solutions to the problem. Well, one solution, but it solved two problems, both of them. And thank God for the book of Acts, because we get to see the church as it blossoms. And we're only at chapter 6, and boy, it's already beginning to blossom. And as we go along, we'll see the gospel continuing to spread out in other places and all the results that it has and all the people. Thank God for that. So let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll offer an invitation. If you're a child of God and need the church to pray for you, and you have some kind of a need, then you can come forward and we can pray for you. If you haven't been baptized, you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you choose to do that today, and I hope you would, come and let me know after services, and we can take care of you. We'd baptize you this morning if you want to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we're so awed by the wonder of your word, not just the Bible that we're reading the pages here, but the word about Jesus Christ. And we thank you so much for putting us in touch with it and changing our lives. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to continue to do that as a church, to focus on the knitting of spreading the gospel, but also focusing as individuals on ministering about us here in the church and about others around us that need our help. Bless us now, Father, and as we go on home, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.